Today's shiur will be Masichta Avodazara Daf Chavov. Then he met another story. Rabbi Nasha Ava Ozil Bei Tursa. Rabbi Nasha was going to Tursa. Pogu Bei Gamze. Thieves met up with him on the way. Amrulay, they said to him, Lo Onkos, where are you going? Amrulay, he said to them, Lo Pumpadisa. He said Pumpadisa, which is further than Tursa. Kimot Elibay Tursa, when they came to Tursa, Parish, he separated and turned off. Amrulay, so they said to him, Talmid de Yudor Amoat. You are a Talmid of Yehuda the deceiver. Because he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda. So they said to him, You are a Talmud of Yehuda the deceiver, because he deceived them. Because he told them he was going to Pumpadisa, and they had planned to do something to him, but they waited till it would be further on the trip. And Lepayel, he turned off by Tursa. Amalahu, so he said to them, Yaditulay, do you know him? Yehei Rava, let it be the will, to lehav ahana insha b'shamte, that let these people, meaning the people, the robbers, let them not ever meet with success. Let them be in cheirem and never be matliach in their work. Oslo, they went, Avdug Nevusa, they robbed Esrin Vetart in Shni for 22 years, for Loi Atlachu, and they didn't succeed because of this klola that he gave them. Kibn the Chosu, since they saw this, also Kula, they all came, Tavu, the Lisha Shamtayu. They came and they asked that their klola, this chayram that they were put in, should be revoked. There was amongst them one weaver, the lay also Lishruya Shamte, who didn't come to have his chayram, his ban revoked. Achle Arya, so him a lion ate up. And the Gemara says, "Hainu the Amrin." This is what people say: "Girdena the leitaisin, a weaver who is not a proud fool, shat the bote mishane. He could change his yearly simple small salary, small income. He could change." As we see here, that this weaver, because being proud and he was a fool, he got killed. Otherwise, he could have revoked the ban that was put upon him. And the Gemara says, Tochazi, come and see, Ma ben Ganva Bovel, what is the difference between the Ganovim, the thieves of Bovel, the least in the Eretz Yisrael, and the robbers of Eretz Yisrael? Because see the story concerning Eretz Yisrael, when they saw they were outwitted, so then they praised the Bakiv and his Talmidim. But the Ganovim of Bovel, when they were outwitted, what did they do? Not only didn't they praise him, but they even insulted Reb Yehuda because of what they did to him. The Mishnah says, Bat Yisrael, a Jewish woman, loyti yaled es ha'ibet es kichovim, should not act as a midwife to a goyish woman, should not help a goyish woman give birth to her child, mipnei shema yaled es ben lavoy es kichovim, because she will be helping to give birth for a son to idol worship. Because this son later will grow up and become an oyvet kichovim. So we are giving birth to a son for David Azarah. But a goyish woman is allowed to act as a midwife to a Jewish woman and help a Jewish woman give birth to a child. Another din the Mishnah says, Bat Yisrael, Leitonik, Benoshel, Levetes Kechovim. A Jewish woman should not nurse the son, the child of a goyish woman. Aval Oyvedes Kechovim, Menika, Benoshel, Yisrael, Beshusa. But a goyish woman is allowed to nurse the child of a Jewish woman, which means we are allowed to give our child to a goyish woman to nurse, as long as it's done birshusa on the premises of the Jew. But to give the child to the goya, that she should take her the child home and nurse the child at home, you're not allowed, because we're afraid that maybe she will kill the child. And the Gemara says, Tone Rabbanon, the Rabbanon learned, Bas Yisrael, Loitayala, the Sevet Eskechovim, a Jewish woman should not help give birth to a goyish child, Mipnei, Shem Yaledes Ben Lavet Eskechovim, because she will be giving birth for a son to the Avodah Zarah. And also the Braita says, Vayved Eskechovim, Loitayala, the Bas Yisrael, and a goyish woman should not help a Jewish woman give birth to a child. She should not be allowed to act as a midwife. Because they are suspected of murder. That is the opinion of Reb Meir. But the Chachamim say, that you could allow a goyish woman to help a Jewish woman give birth, as long as other women are standing nearby, but not amongst themselves. In other words, if there's no one else there, then you are not allowed to let her do it. But Reb Meir says, "Afilu acheres on this agabo, even if other women are standing nearby, namelo, you're also not allowed to let her do it. Why? The zinin, the moncheliyode, aputo. It's possible that sometimes she will put her hands on the temples of the child, the kotolei, and she will kill him, veloi mischaze, and it would not be seen." So the reason the Chachamim say, "Why, if others are there, you're allowed, because they will watch her that she wouldn't kill the child." So the mayor says she could do it in such a way that no one will see that she killed a child, and that's why you're not allowed, even if there are other women watching. Mora brings a story, ki I eat like this woman, the omra l'chavarto, she said to her friend, Molde Yehudaise, bas Molde Yehudaise, she called her Jewish midwife, the daughter of a Jewish midwife. Omra later, she said to her, Nefishim bishe, the high itse, that so many evil should fall upon this woman. She cursed her and said to her, that so much evil should fall upon you, as much the komashpilne minayu doma ki ufyudinare. As much as I have dropped of these Jewish children like lumps of wood in the river. In other words, she was saying that even though she was a midwife and she helped Jewish women give birth to their children, but she killed many of them and no one knew about it. So we see that she could do it in such a way that no one should know. And that's the reason why the mayor says that even if other women are watching, you're still not allowed to allow the Goya to help the Jewish women give birth to the child. But then the Gemara asks the Rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan answer to that? How could the Rabbanan say that if there are other women watching, you're allowed to let her, but here we see a story that she killed, she said at least that she killed many Jewish children and no one knew about it. Amalot, they will say to him, Lay, he, it is not true. Benil Sabalma with the Kimti, she was just saying words. She was just trying to answer the other woman, so that's what she said, but really this is not true, and therefore in the case where other women are watching, we don't suspect that she would kill the child. Then the Gemara continues, it said in the Mishnah, Bas Yisroel Oitonig, a Jewish woman should not nurse a Goyish child, but you are allowed to allow a Goyish woman to nurse the child of a Jew as long as it's done Birshuso on the premises of the Jew. Gemara says, Rabbanan learned, Bas Yisroel Oitonig, Noshel Avedes Kechovim, a Jewish woman should not nurse the child of a Goyish woman, Ipnei Shemekadeles Ben Lavedes Kechovim, because she would be raising a child for the Avedes Zoreh. And also, we shouldn't allow a Goyish woman to nurse the child of a Jewish woman because you suspect her of murder that she might kill the child. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. The Chachamim say, that you could allow a Goyish woman to nurse the child of a Jewish woman, but this is only bizman, when other women are standing nearby, but not between herself. In other words, if there's no one watching, then you are not allowed to let her nurse the child, because then we suspect she might kill the child. But if there are other women watching, we don't suspect that she will kill the child. Even if other women are standing nearby, you still are not allowed to let her nurse the child. We still suspect that she might kill the child, even though they're watching, because Zimnin sometimes the Shaifalo Samala Dadme Broi, she could smear some poison on her breast on the outside. And that she could do beforehand, when no one sees the Kotlale, and she will kill the child. And therefore, the mayor holds that you are not allowed to let her nurse the child, even if other people are watching. And the Gemara says, Utsricha. The Braith has to tell us both dinim, because here we had a machlokes between the mayor and the Chachamim in two cases. Whether in a case where other women are watching, are you allowed to let a Goyish woman help a Jewish woman give birth to a child? And also, in the case where other women are watching, are you allowed to let a Goyish woman nurse a Jewish child? So the Chora, the machlokes is the same. Why did the Braith have to tell us this machlokes in both cases? Why couldn't the Braith just tell us the machlokes in one of the two, and we would understand ourselves that the same machlokes is in the other case? And the Gemara says it's Tzricha. The Braitha has to tell us both cases, because if it would only say one, we wouldn't know that the same Machlokes is in the other. Why? The Iyash Minim Yeledes, if we would only know the Machlokes, in the case of becoming a midwife, of letting the Goyish woman give birth to the child, I would think, Bahi Kamer Rabbanan, and only in that case the Rabbanan say the Shorei that it's Mutter, that you're allowed to let her do it if other women are watching, the Lo Yevsheh, because it's impossible for her to kill the child, Mishum Dacheres Roya, because others are watching. In other words, the Rabbanan then hold that we don't suspect that she will be able to kill him through pushing him on the temples, as we said before, because that also other people will see. Avo beniko, but we would think that in the case of the nursing, the efsher, the shayfer, the sam, the dad me'abroi, the kotel lo, there is possible that she should smear poison on her breast on the outside and kill him, and that is something that no one could see. So over there, there is more reason to say that we suspect that she might kill the child. Amen. I would think, moi delay, let it may. The Chachamim admit to Rav Meir that in the case of nursing, you should not be allowed to let the Goyish woman nurse the child, even if there are other women watching. On the other hand, the Iyashmina Manika, if the Braise would only tell us the deen concerning the nursing, I would think by he come out of Meir Doser. And only in the case of nursing, the Meir holds that it's also to let her do it if, even in front of others. Because there is something she could do that the other woman should not notice. She could smear the poison on her breast beforehand and kill the child when no one sees. But the case of helping to give birth, where it's impossible to do something when others are watching that they shouldn't see. Amen. I would think, so the maid is moisted to the Rabbanon. And in a case like this, you're allowed to let her do it if other women are watching. That's why the Braisa has to tell us that. And the Machloik is in both cases. That the maid holds, in all cases it's possible that she would do it, that other people shouldn't notice, and the Rabbanon hold it. In both cases, it is impossible that she should do it, that other people should not notice. And it's important to note here that even the Rabbanon, who say that you are allowed to let her do it when others are watching, obviously this is also only if it is in the Reshus of the Eden. And this applies to both, in the case of the Menika and in the case of the Mealadis. Since in the case of the Menika, the Mishnah says the Feder that when are you allowed to let her do it, only if in the premises of the Eid. And in the Braise, the Din of Menika and the Din of Mealadis go together. So we know from here that this is only allowed to be done in the Rishus of the Eid. And even that, when is it allowed to be done? Only if others are watching. But if others are not watching, even in the Rishus of the Eid, then you are not allowed to let the Goy not be a Mealadis and not allow her to be a Menika. But Tosfos says that when we say that it must be only in the case where others are watching, it doesn't mean that imams have to stand over her and watch. Yisrael, Yoytze v'nichnas is enough. Yoytze v'nichnas means that if a Yid is in and out, and not standing there the whole time, it's also enough and it's allowed, because that is considered Oymed al Gabav. That we consider as if it's standing on top of him and watching what he is doing, as we see in the Perek of Rabbi Shmuel later on, and Daf Samachalas. And Tosfos brings out a din from this Gemara here, that when a Yiddish woman goes out of town, she should not leave her child in the hands of a goyish nurse, unless there are yidden there who are yoytze v'nichnas. But if there are no yidden who are yoytze v'nichnas, some yidden Yiddish people who go in and out constantly, you're not allowed to do it. And even more than that, at night when you go to sleep, even if there are yoytze v'nichnas, then you're still not allowed to. Why? Because then the yidden will not be walking in and out, so then they will be left in the hands of the goyah herself, and that you're not allowed. And the Ri also said that when you leave children in the house of Goyim by themselves to be cured, you're not allowed to do that for many reasons. One is because they are choshed on Shpichas Damim, and even if they're a little bit bigger, when we don't suspect for Shpichas Damim, we're afraid that the Goy will pearl the child for minus for apikursus, and that's why you're not allowed. But the Chalot Kedai to mention that all these dinim that the Gemara says here concerning the chash that we're afraid that the Goyim will kill, and that's why you're not allowed to do certain things. So we find in the Tshuva of Achronim that Lav Dafke applies nowadays. That nowadays it is not the way it used to be. It is, all the dayas are mentioned in the Encyclopedia Talmudis in the Erech of Goy, and there is another Tshuva which is not mentioned there, and the Lubavitch Rebbe Shlita brings it, and he says that they did not mention it in the Encyclopedia Talmudis, and this is the Tshuva of Aram Stern, which is brought down in the Shailos Tshuvas Chaves Yoyer Simen Samachvov. And Bechlau, from the Tshuva in Chaves Yoyer, it comes out that wherever it says that Goyim are Choshud and Shvichas Domim, that means a regular Goy, not only an Oyved Avedezore. And that's how it's mashma also the Shita of the Alter Rebbe de Balatanya. Because he says in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Bei, Sif Aleph, concerning the Dean of Erev, so it says the Loshen there, Lefish Einem Motli Sheyodah Yisroel Echad Im Goy Bechotzer, it's not common for a Yid to live alone with a Goy in the yard, Yipnei Sheyochosh La'atzme, a Yid should be afraid, Shema Yohargenu, he might kill him, Ki HaGoyim Chashudim Al Shvichas Domim, because Goyim are suspected of Shvichas Domim. It's mashma that this Dean that we say that a Goy is suspected is not only a Goy who's Oyved Avedezara, but also a regular Goy. But the Mi'iri here in this Gemara says that the reason why nowadays people are not careful with all these things is because all these things were only said, he says, Al Umais Hakdumais, on the old nations, which were not Godur Bedarke Hadosais. They didn't have any religion. And they were Adukis to Masmides of Ayasalilim, Ikra Avedezara, that they were only involved in Avedezara. But anybody who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah is not included in this din, he says, of being choshed Ashpichas Domim Ergezel, etc. And many places he writes like that in Gemara Avodah Zarah, and also in Masechta Baba Kama Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, or Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and in other places. In Yira Day, in the beginning of Simen Kuf Nun Gimel, in the Vilna print and all the prints that were later copied, photostated from that print, there is a Ha'ara printed where it says that all the dinim that are mentioned in Simen Kufnun Gimel, Kufnun Dalet, Kufnun Hey, and Kufnun Vov, which deal with the dinim of Goyim, were all said only concerning the time of the Gemara. Then they said the Oivdik Yechovim were Proyim, they were wild people, etc. But now this all stopped, and therefore all these dinim don't apply concerning Yidin Bizman Hazeh. But there's no raya from this Ha'ara that this is actually the shit of the Shulchan Aruch, because this could have been written because of the censor. Because as we see that in the old prints, like the print of Initia, Shinun Gimel, and other prints, we don't have this order. In the Beis Yosef, to the Torah, Nerachayim, Simichov, he writes like that. The Fisha Yochshudim Ashvichas Domim Beyom Makadmoinim. And the Goyim were suspected of murder in the earlier days. So we see he only says this applies only to the earlier days. But it seems also that this was added because of the censor. Because as we see that in the first print of the Beis Yosef, which is printed in Venetia, the year Shin Yud, and also later in the Tfus of Venetia, Shinchov Dalet, but it was printed, the first one was printed yet in the lifetime of the Beis Yosef himself, there the words B'yamim HaKadmonim don't say. And also in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim Simichov, Siv Beis, he writes L'Halocha that you should not sell a talis with tzitzis to a goy, because maybe the goy might use that as an excuse to walk along with the yid on the road, because the yid will think he's also a yid because he wears a talis, and he might kill him. So we see that we do apply this even to a goy nowadays. And the Alter Rebbe of Alatanya in Shulchan Aruch, in the same Simen Chav, Sivov, also brings the same din. In Be'er HaGela, to the Shulchan Aruch HaShemisvot, Simen Tov Chav Hei, in the din that you are not allowed to save a goy, he writes in Sivkot Nishin that Le'omru Chazal Dover Zeh Ela Ala Akum Shoyi Bizmaneyem, that the Chazal said is only concerning the goyim that were in those times that were Evda Vedezore, of the goyim that we live amongst them, and they guard us. So not only is there no Eastern in saving them, but on the contrary, we are Machuyev, we Ispala B'Shleima, etc. That we are supposed to daven for the peace of the government, etc. And this is also in the first print of the Be'er HaGela, which was printed in Amsterdam in Tov Chav Dalet. So we do see that he says that nowadays the Goyim are different. But he didn't write this din concerning Choshet Hashvichas Domin. He just writes it concerning the din that you are not allowed to save a Goy. That only applies to the Goyim that used to be those days, not now. But he doesn't write it concerning the fact that we are afraid the Goy will kill somebody. That could be, he holds, also applies nowadays. And now we will continue with the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Vere minu, I will ask you a kashem." We learn in the Braise, Yehudis, Mialadis, Avedis, Kichovim, Bischar. That a Jewish woman is allowed to help a Goyish woman give birth if she gets paid for it, but not for free. But here we see that a Jewish woman is allowed to help a Goyish woman give birth. And before we learn that a Jewish woman is not allowed to do it, Rabbi Yosef said, "Bischar shori mishum eva," that for money you're allowed because of hatred. Because if you don't get paid for it, then you have a good excuse not to do it. You could say that you are busy, you have to make money, you can't give up your time to help her because you have to go someplace, and if you don't go, you're going to lose money. So that's a good excuse. But if they're going to pay you, so you have no excuse why not to do it. So if you don't do it, there'll be hatred between the Goyim and the Eden. So because of that, you are allowed to do it. So if they pay you, you're allowed to do it. But the question one might ask, what was the kasha to begin with? It says the Feirish in this Braise that you're allowed to do it bischar, but not bechinam. So the Chatchila, we see right away that there is a difference between getting paid or not getting paid. So obviously the Mishnah where it says that you are not allowed to do it is if you don't get paid. And here where it says you're allowed is only bischar. So what was the kasher of the Makshin of the one that has the kasher? Shatoysa says that the Makshin, the one that has the kasher, thought that probably the Mishnah means that you're not allowed to do it even if you get paid. Because the Mishnah gives the reason that you're not allowed to do it, because you will be giving birth to a child for the Avodah Zarah. Now, if that's the reason, what difference does it make whether you get paid for it or not? You are not allowed to give a child to Avodah Zarah. Help give birth to a child who is going to later on worship Avodah Zarah. So whether it's for money or not. So he didn't think that the Mishnah meant only Bechinam. That's why he asked the Kasha. But Rabbi Yosef answered no. That the Mishnah Taka means only Bechinam. But if you get paid for it, then you're allowed, because the svara of Evo, of not causing hatred between the Goyim and the Yidden, is a strong enough svara that should overcome even the svara that the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to give birth a son to Avodah Zarah. Then the Gemara continues, Sovar Rabbi Yosef Lemeimer, Rabbi Yosef thought to say, that you're even allowed to help a Goyish woman give birth to a child on Shabbos, if you get paid for it. Because like this, to help somebody give birth is a melacha. The reason you're allowed to do it to a Jewish woman is because of pikuach nefesh, because it's a danger of life, and therefore you're allowed. But to a Goyish woman, you're not allowed to do it. But in the case of Eva, that if you're not going to do it, there will be hatred, because the Goyim know that to a Jewish woman, she would help give birth. If you're not going to do it to a Goyish woman, there will be hatred. So if you have an excuse that you are busy with something else, then we have a good excuse, and therefore you shouldn't do it. But if you have no excuse because you get paid for this, so then Rabbi Yosef said, you would be able to do it even for a Goyish woman, even on Shabbos. Amalei Abayis, Abayis said to him, no. And on Shabbat, you can't do it, and you do have a good excuse. Yochel lemeimer lo, she could say to her, Didon, our woman, the mean to the Shabbat, the day keep Shabbos, mechalalina and alayu. We have to be mechalal the Shabbos for them. Didchu, your children, the loy mean to the Shabbat, you don't keep Shabbos, loy mechalalina, we don't have to be mechalal. In other words, the goyim know that it's a chilul Shabbos to help give birth. The only reason they will be angry is because they would say, how come to your own children you do it? So Abayi said, you could always say that our own children, the child that will be born, will keep Shabbos. So for a child like that, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. But for your child who is not going to keep Shabbos, so for that, we are not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, and that's a good excuse, and therefore, you are not allowed to help a Goyish woman give birth on Shabbos, even if you get paid for it. But Tosfos asked the Kasha, what was the Havamini of the Gemara of Rav Yosef that you were allowed to do it? Since giving birth is a Issa D'Raisa, a Tosfos brings a Raya from the Gemara in Shabbat, that if somebody put his hand into the stomach of a Behema and moved and pulled out the child from inside the stomach, he is Chayev because of Eiker Dova Migiduloi, because he pulled out something from its growth, from its original place where it's connected to from its growth, which is a tool of Goizes, which is a Malacha D'Raisa. So how did Rabbi Yosef think that you are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos with a Malacha D'Raisa because of the Svar of Eva of avoiding the hatred of the Goyim? And we see that even Abayi also agreed to it. The only reason Abayi said you're not allowed to because it is no Eva, because you have a good excuse. But we see Abayi himself holds that if not for that excuse, then because of Eva you would be able to do it. But how is there a Svar to say that you should be Mechal Shabbos with a Malacha D'Raisa because of Eva? And therefore, Tosfos answers, we must say that here we're talking in a case where the woman is already in labor, and the child already, so to speak, tore itself off from the place it's connected in order to go out, so then there is no Malacha D'Raisa. Or in a case that the mother was pregnant with the child full months, so then by the time it's finished, we assume that the child is already cut off from its source, and therefore there is no Malacha D'Raisa. And that's why Rav Yosef said that because of Eva you're allowed to do it, and even Abayi also holds that because of Eva you're allowed to do it. He just said that there is no Eva because you have a good excuse that you could say that only for those who keep Shabbos you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, but for those who don't keep Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Then the Gemara continues, so Rav Yosef lemeimor, Rav Yosef thought of saying, Anuki bischar shori mishum Eva. Rav Yosef thought of saying that even nursing a Goyish child, you are allowed if you get paid for it, because otherwise there will be the hatred. Omer le'Abayis, Abayis said, no, there is no hatred because you do have a good excuse why not to nurse the child. She could say to her, if she is an unmarried woman, she could say, I want to get married. Now, if I'm going to nurse, I won't be able to get married. If she is a married woman, she could say, I don't want to get disgusted in front of my husband. In other words, my husband won't like the fact that I am nursing a child, and therefore, I don't want to nurse a child. And since it's a good excuse, there will be no Eva, and therefore, even for money, you're not allowed to do it. And the Gemara continues, so Rabbi Yosef the Meimer, Rabbi Yosef also thought to say, Ho the Tanya, concerning the brises that we learned, Oivdi Gechovim, the idol worshippers, the Roye Behem Madako, or even Yidden, but if they're shepherds of small cattle, and we assume that they steal, we assume that they take the cattle to places where you are not allowed to, and they let the cattle eat there, so they are over on the Yisrael of Gneva. So people like that, Loi Mailin, the Loi Meridin. You should not pick up, and you should, on the other hand, not drop in. If these people, one of these, fell into a pit, and it's dangerous for his life, then you're not allowed to take him out. You're not allowed to save his life. On the other hand, you're not allowed to push him in. You're not allowed to kill him. But you also are not allowed to save him if he is in danger. So Rabbi Yosef thought to say that Asuki Bishar Shori Mishumeva, that to take out for payment, you are allowed because of hatred. Because what kind of excuse can you give? If you don't get paid, then you could always say, I have no time to help you, to save you, because I am busy, I have to go make money, and if I don't go, I'm going to lose money. But if they're ready to pay you, then you have no excuse. Then if you don't do it, it'll cause hatred, sort of Yosef thought to say, that you are allowed to do it for money. Omele Abayas, Abayas said to him, Yochol Omele, he could say to him, Koyi Briya Yigre, my son is caught someplace stuck on the roof. And I have no time, I can't save you, because I have to rush to take my son off the roof. Iname, or you could say, I have an appointment at the court, and I have no time to wait and help you come out, and that is a good excuse. So it won't cause any hatred, and therefore, even for money, you're not allowed to do it. But we have to mention that when it says that the Royim of Heimedaka, the shepherds of small cattle, are in this din, that loy mailin v'loy meridin, it is only if they are shepherds of their own cattle. But if they're shepherds of other people's cattle, then this din doesn't apply. Because the Gemara says in Bava Metzia that Ein Adam Choyte Veloy Loy. And a person does not do an Aveda if it's not for himself. A person will not do an Aveda for someone else's benefit. So therefore, why should we assume that he let the cattle eat from other people's fields and over on the Easter of Gneve when he doesn't gain anything by it? So therefore, if he's a shepherd of other people's cattle, then we assume he's a kosher person. And he's not in this deen of Ma'loi Ma'ilim V'loi Meridin. When do we say this deen? Only if he is a shepherd of his own cattle. So then we assume that probably he will let his animals eat from other people's fields, which is Gneva. And therefore he is the deen of Loi Ma'ilim V'loi Meridin. That's the way Toysa says. But then Toysa asks the question, why is it that the Chachamim were so much machmir concerning these Royim? The deen that a Roya like this is not possible to testify only Midrabbanan. And not only that, there's a certain type of testimony that even Midrabbanan their mutter. And this is concerning Eidus Isha, to testify to a woman that her husband died, so she should be allowed to marry. Even a Roya, a shepherd, is believed when he testifies. So we see that a Roya is not the worst. And nevertheless, the Chachamim were machmir that they are loy mailin v'loy meridin, which means that you shouldn't save him if he is in danger. On the other hand, gazlonim, who are robbers, which are possible to testify min ha-Torah, mideraisa, for all Eidus HaBetorah, nevertheless, the Chachamim weren't machmir that much. There is no din of a gazlin you are not allowed to save if he is in danger. Why is it? And the same question applies, Tosfos says, to a mumer, oichul nevelas l'teyovet. A mumer who eats nevela, and he only eats it l'teyoven, he only eats it out of desire. He doesn't eat it l'hachiz in spite that he bedavki eats non-kosher meat. If he would have kosher meat and non-kosher meat, and they both would be the same, he would eat the kosher meat. If the non-kosher tastes better, he will eat the non-kosher. Or if he could only get non-kosher, he will eat non-kosher. And there the Gemara here says later on that you have to return an object that he lost, and you have to save him if he is in danger, even though he is worse than the Roya, because he is possible to testify Midaraisa. So why is it that concerning those people, the Chachamim were not Machmir, and concerning a Roya, the Chachamim were Machmir, even though he is only possible Midarabbanon? And that he answers, because this itself is the reason. Since they are only possible Midarabbanon, also Chachamim Chizuk, the Chachamim strengthen their own deen. So people should do tshuva. As we find that Bezdin have a right to hit and to punish, even though it's against the Torah. So this is the punishment that the Bezdin gave to the shepherds who are apostle only Midrabbanon to make sure they do tshuva. When somebody is apostle Midaraisa, there is a stronger svara to say that he will do tshuva on his own, because he did a very terrible aveira. He knows it's Midaraisa that he becomes apostle Eidus, so he probably will do tshuva on his own. But these Roim, the shepherds who are only apostle Midrabbanon, so probably they will not do tshuva. So the Chachamim strengthened their own deen, and they said, because of that, you should not save his life, and that will bring them to do tshuva. Then the Gemara continues, Ton Rebbe Avuah came to Rabbi Yochanan. Rebbe Avuah learned in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'oiv dekichovim, to idol worshippers, Veroyev heimadako, or the shepherds of the small cattle, Loi mailim v'loi meridim. You should not take them out of the pit to save their life, but on the other hand, you should not throw them in. Aval ha'minim, but the minim, and Rasha says the minim are the priests to Avodah Zarah. And this makes no difference whether they're Jews or non-Jews, but if they are priests for Avodah Zarah, or v'hav mesoiras. Mesoiras are the mashinim, those that maser. Those that come to the government, and they give over to the government the money of other yidin. Or v'hav mumrim, those that don't keep the mitzvahs. A mumer is a yid who goes against the Torah, doesn't do what the Torah tells him. So by them the din is, hayu meridim v'lo mailim. You could throw him in, and don't take him out. You could even throw him into the pit, means you could even kill him, and you shouldn't take him out. If they are in the pit, you shouldn't save their life. Omar Leisa, he said to him, Anishoyne, but I learned, L'chol Avedes Achicha, when the Pasuk says that if your friend, another Yid, loses an object, you must return it. And the Pasuk says that so too you should do l'chol aveidas achicho, to all the lost objects of your brother. What does that come to include? L'rabois es ha-mumer, to include a mumer. And if a mumer lost an object, you must return it to him too. So he says to him, I learned that you must even return a lost object of a mumer. But at Tamet, and you're saying, hey, you meridin, that you should throw him into the pit, which means that you're even allowed to kill a mumer. Therefore he said to him, Sami mikan mumer, take out from here mumer. That when you learned before that minim and masrim, you're allowed to throw into the pit, and you also mentioned mumrim, take out mumrim. Mumrim does not include it in that deen, because by a mumer, the deen is that you are not allowed to throw him into the pit. On the contrary, you're supposed to save his life, and you're even supposed to save his money if he lost it. And then the Gemara asks, Velishanele, why couldn't he answer him? Kan be mumer oichol nevelis lit yoven. Kan be mumer oichol nevelis lahachis. He could have said there's a difference. And in this place, where we said that you have to even return a lost object to him, that is a kind of mumer who eats nevelis out of desire. Which means he doesn't keep the Torah, and he eats nevela, but he only does it out of desire. He doesn't do it in spite. That if he would have kosher and non-kosher, both would be equal, he would take the kosher one. If they're not equal, the one that is not kosher tastes better, he'll eat that. In a case like that, that kind of mumer, then you must save his money and you must save him too, and certainly that you are not allowed to throw him into the pit. But Khan, in this place where it says that a mumer is one of those that you're allowed to even throw into the pit, that is, a mumer who eats nevelis lahachis in spite, that even if he'd have the same kosher and non-kosher, he would in spite eat a non-kosher. A mumer like that, the din is that meiridi, that you could even throw him into the pit. But the Gemara says the reason he didn't answer him that, because oichol nevelis lahachis minhu, that a mumer who eats nevelis in spite, he is in the category of a min. So therefore we can't say that when it says there that the mumrim are one of those that you throw into the pit, that this means if he was a mumer who eats nevelis lahachis, because that would be included in the first category, the minim. Because he started off by saying that the minim and the mosrim and the mumrim, you are meirid v'le maile. So if a mumer means the one that eats nevelis lahachis, that is included in the min. So therefore when it says mumrim there, it must mean a mumer who eats nevelis, not lahachis, but only out of desire. But that can be, because we said there you even have to return it out. That's why he said to take mumrim out there, because a mumer normally means a mumer who eats nevelis with the oven, and by him the din is that not only can't you kill him, but you also must save him, and also must return his lost object. But Tosfos says, when the Yochanan said here, that take out mumrim, because if it's a mumer that is lahachis, then it's a min. If he's not a lahachis, he's not included here. It is only in this place where Rabbi Yochanan meant you have to take him out. But there are other places in the Gemara where we find that it's mentioned mumer and also mentioned minim. For instance, Tosfos says, it says in the first page of Rosh Hashanah, ha-minim v'ha-mumrim v'ha-mesoyres yerdim v'gehenim. That the minim and the mumrim and the mosfim, they go to Gehenim. Or it says in Perek Asheleach in Gittin, say the Torah should cost a min or a mumer or a moser or chulad in the din is so and so. So there we do say there is a min and a mumer, and they're two separate categories. So it's only in this place that he says in this braisa that you have to take out the word mumer. But in other places it could say the word mumer, as we see. Then the Gemara continues. Itmer, we learned mumer. What is the meaning of a mumer? Pligi beir avachem v'revine. There's a machloikin between avachem and revine. Chadomer once said, letei ovein mumer. If he eats nevela only out of desire, he is considered a mumer. But if he eats lahachis in spite, min have it. Then he's a min, like we said before. The Chadomer once said, afil lahachis, nam a mumer. And even if he eats nevela in spite, he's also only a mumer. And leizehu min, what is considered a min? Zeha oivedei lilei kechovid, as the one that worships idols. But by not doing the mitzvah, or even doing the avedis in spite of the Torah, you're still not a min, it's only a mumer. And the Gemara asks Meisi, I will ask you a kasha, we learn in the Braise, Ochal porush echod, o yitush echod. If he ate one flea or one mosquito, hareiz a mumer, then this person is considered a mumer, because you're not allowed to eat them, so if he ate them, he's a mumer. And the question is, so here it's definitely in spite, because there is no reason why he would have a desire to eat a flea or a mosquito. So it's definitely in spite, uktone, still we learn mumer that he's a mumer. So here we see that even if you do it lahachis, you're still a mumer. So the Gemara answers, it's not in spite. How some boy limit in time at Isuda. He could also do it out of desire. He wants to taste what an aveda tastes like, and that's why he ate it. But not because he wants to, lahachis, go against the Torah, do in spite of the Torah. And the Gemara continues, Omar Ma, we learned before that the other category of people, you could throw them into the pit, but you should not take them out. So the Gemara asks, Hashta achusim achsinin, if you're even allowed to throw them in, asukim yiboye, not to take them out, you have to tell us. Why does it have to say that you should throw them in, but don't take them out? Certainly, if you have to throw them in, certainly you shouldn't take them out. Omer of Yosef Bar Chomer, Omer of Sheshes, Rav Yosef Bar Chomer said the name of Rav Sheshes, Leinitricha, you didn't have to tell us, but She'im hoysa ma'ila b'boi, that if there was a step in the pit that you threw him in, Megarero, you have to take it away. That not only should you throw him into the pit, but also you should make sure that he shouldn't be able to come out. That's what it means, v'loy ma'ilim. You should even take away the step. If you take away the step, it'll cause hatred because the fact that you threw him in, he might not know, he'll think it's done by accident. But now that you'll be taking away the step, it'll be clear to him that he wants to die, it'll cause hatred. Why should you do that? So he says, you have a good excuse. V'omar, you could say, the reason I'm taking away the step is because I don't want my animals to walk down on it, and they will get killed in the bed. So that's a good excuse. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both say that what did the Braisa mean where it said that you should throw them in and not take them out? The Nitzrichet is not told, but Shem Hoysa Even Api Abeir, that if there was a stone right next to the hole, Mechasa, you could even cover it to make sure he doesn't get out. And what kind of excuse will you use? You could say, Lavur Chayuse Alei, I want to put it down so my animals should be able to walk over it. Ravina says, and what does it mean? Shim ha yasulam, if there was a ladder there, mesalka, you take it away. Omar, you could say, be'ina lachusi brimig, I need the ladder to take my son off the roof. So therefore, this won't cause hatred. And on the other hand, you will not be saving his life. Then the Gemara continues, Tone Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learned, Yisrael mol esoibet kichovim l'shum ger, a yid is allowed to circumcise a goy for the sake of geirus, to become a ger, to become a convert. La fuke, this comes to exclude the shumurne, for the sake of cutting off the sickness that he has. If a goy has a kind of sickness on his foreskin, you are not allowed to circumcise him. The lay, that you are not allowed to do. And the reason is, because you are not allowed to cure a goy for free. As we said before, the goy, you're not allowed to throw him into the pit. But if he's there, you're not allowed to take him out. You shouldn't save him. By curing him, you're saving him. So you're not allowed to do that. And therefore, you're not allowed to circumcise a goy if he has the sickness on his foreskin. You're not allowed to do it. And you shouldn't let a goy circumcise a yid because they are suspected of murder. So if you let them circumcise you, they might kill you. The opinion of Reb Meir, and a goy could mal a yid as long as others are standing there and watching. But amongst themselves, just he and that yid, loy, you're not allowed. Remeir says, and even if others are standing next to him and watching, you're also not allowed to let him to circumcise the yid. This evening, because sometimes the matzalei sanik shakine, he will move his knife, he will make the yid into a chrushavcha, he will sterilize the yid and turn him into a chrushavcha, and that's why you're not allowed to let him do it, even if others are watching, because he could do it in such a way that no one should notice. Then the Gemara asks, the Sova Reb Meir, does really Reb Meir hold? Oy v'kichavim loy, that you're not allowed to let a goy. Malayid, v'reminu, I will ask you a question. We learned, Ir she'ein baroife Yisrael, a city that has no Jewish doctor, but v'yesh baroife kusi, v'roife oy v'kichavim, but there is a doctor, a kusi there, and a doctor, a goy. And the kusim were those people who converted, and there's a machlokes in Gemara, whether they are geirei emes or not, whether they are true converts or not, but whatever it is, they did not keep all the mitzvahs. On the contrary, they built themselves a house in Hagrizim, and they worshipped a certain avodah zarah. So if you have a doctor, a kusi, or a doctor, a goy, yimol oivet yichavim v'yimol kusi, you should better let the goy circumcise you and not the kusi. And the reason for that is because the kusim also used to be mal, while the goyim didn't. Now if the kusi is mal, he will circumcise it the way he does it normally. And since when they used to do their circumcision, they used to do it l'shem derav edezore, which is a kind of yoyna and their hagrizim. So when he will do it for the Jewish child, he will also have in mind the same avodazara, while the goyim, they don't circumcise at all. So if you will ask him to circumcise, he will do it the way you want. So therefore, it's better to let the goy circumcise the child than the kusi. Dibri Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Yimel kusi, val yimel evet yichovim, that better the kusi do it and not the goy. And the reason is because a goy is suspected of shvichas damim, might kill the child. So here we see that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that suspects that he might kill him, while Rabbi Meir doesn't suspect. That's why Rabbi Meir says you should let the goy be mal rather than the kuzi. So this is a contradiction to what we said before, that Rabbi Meir holds that you should never let a goy do mila, even if there are others watching. And here we see that Rabbi Meir holds that you could let the goy do the mila. So the Gemara says, Eipach, change it around. But they're supposed to say that the mayor is of the opinion that says that let the kusi do it and not the goy, because he's afraid that the goy will kill him, and the mayor is the one that suspects the goy of murder. Rabbi Yehuda says that oivet kichavim, you should rather let the goy do it, veloy kusi, and not the kusi, for the reason we said before, because the kusi will do it the way he normally does it for his avodah zarah, while the goy will not do it that way. But then the Gemara asks, so what Rav Yehuda does Rav Yehuda hold? Oivet kichavim shaker dami, and it is okay for a goy to maul, because the way we changed around now, it comes out that Rav Yehuda holds, you should let the goy do the mila. Is it true that Rav Yehuda holds, that you're allowed to let the goy do a mila? Or Tanya didn't learn the braise. Rav Yehuda says, Menayin, how do we know the mila by oivet kichavim sheep sulo? That mila, if it's done through a goy, is possible. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Va'ato es brisi tishmoy," that you should keep, should guard, should watch my covenant. So from there we learn out it has to be you, Avraham, or anybody else who is commanded to do the mitzvah mila, but a goy who doesn't have to do mila is possible for mila. And that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So how can we say that we change around the braisa and we'll say that Rabbi Yehuda holds you should let the goy do the mila better than the kusi? Hello, therefore, the Gemara says, Lo'ilam lo'itep, don't change it around. And let it say, as we said before, that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that we should let the kusi do it and not the goy. And the reason would be because the goy is not allowed to be mal. And Rabbi Meir is the one that holds that you could let the goy do it and not the kusi. The kasha will come back, that how can Rabbi Meir say that you should let the goy do it, and we learned before that Rabbi Meir holds that we suspect the goy might kill, and therefore you shouldn't let a goy do the mila? And even if it's a case where others are watching, you still shouldn't let him, because we suspect maybe he'll make him into a krushavko. And here we are talking in the case, but oita mumcha, the doctor is an expert. And therefore, we don't suspect he's going to do anything wrong, because he won't want to ruin his reputation as being a doctor, as being a good doctor. In a case like that, the mayor holds, you're allowed to let him do it. He also Rav Dima Rav Yochanan, because when Rav Dima came, he said the name of Rav Yochanan, and him hoye mumcha l'rabim, if he was a famous expert doctor, muter is allowed. Why? Because then we don't suspect that he's going to kill him or turn him into a krushav. And this doesn't mean that he must be an expert for mila dafkit. Could be for mila, he's not lafkit an expert. But if he's an expert doctor for other things, then we also don't suspect, as Toysa says, that he will do anything wrong with the mila. Because if he does something wrong with the mila, that's going to spoil his reputation for everything else. So therefore, in a case like that, you are allowed. But then the Gemara asks, the Sova Rabbi Yehuda, Kusi Shaper Dome, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that a Kusi is allowed to do Mila? Because the way we said now that we don't change it around, so it remains that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said, let the Kusi do it and don't let the Goy do it. But is it true that Rabbi Yehuda holds you're allowed to let a Kusi do the Mila? But Tanya, didn't we learn? Yisroel Moles a Kusi. Ayid is allowed to be Mal the Kusi. The Kusi lo Yomol Yisroel. But a kusi should not circumcise a yid, mipnei shemol l'shem hagrizim. He will do it for the sake of hagrizim. And as we said before, they had a avodah zarah on hagrizim. So whenever they used to maul their own children, they would do it for the sake of that avodah zarah. So if he will be maul a Jewish child, he will also have in mind for the sake of their hagrizim of the avodah zarah. So therefore, you are not allowed to let a kusi do the mila. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, my Lord, Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi said to him, "V'cheicha metzino mila min haTorah lishmo." Where do we find in the Torah that when you do mila, it has to be done lishmo, it has to be done for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of the mitzvah of Hashem? Ela mo v'hoylech asher teitzin lishmo. So he could let him be mal till his neshama goes out, which means there is no limit. He could do it even if he doesn't do it lishmo, for the sake of the mitzvah. So in the meantime, we see here that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds that the kusi is not allowed to do the mila. And before we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you have a choice of a goy or a kusi, then you should let the kusi do it and not the goy. Hello, Loilun, therefore the Gemara says, Be'emes, Eipuch, Kidab, Chinami, Yikore. We do have to change it around like we said before. that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that you should let the goy do it and not the kusi. And the reason is, as we said before, because the kusi will do it for his avodah zarah, while the goy, who doesn't usually do the mileh, so in this case he will do it for the sake that the father of the child wants, which will be for the sake of the mitzvah. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds that you should let the goy do it and not the kusi. And Rabbi Meir is the one that holds that you should let the kusi do it and not let the goy. The kakasha. Ah, we asked the kasha before. The Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. There was a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, because before we brought where the brayse where Rabbi Yehuda says that a goy is not allowed to perform mila. And if we're going to change around, it'll come out that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that the kusi should not do it, but the goy should. So we will answer, he did Rabbi Yehuda anosihi. That brayse where it says that Rabbi Yehuda said that a goy is not allowed to perform mila, this is not the same Rabbi Yehuda. That is Rabbi Yehuda anosihi, who was in a later generation. This is a Rebbe who wrote the Mishnah. He was called Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And he is the one that says that a goy is not allowed to do mila. While the other Rabbi Yehuda, he holds the goy is allowed. Where do we find that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds a goy is not allowed to perform mila? Tanya, because we learn in the Braise, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, Minayin le mila by v'tichavi shiipsulo. How do we know that mila done by a goy is possible? Talmud loyme, because the Pasuk says, V'atos brisi sishmoir, that you should watch my bris. So anybody who is under the bris, who is commanded to perform mila, is able to do it. But a goy who is not commanded to do it, he is not allowed to do it. So here we see clearly that it says, who said that? That Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said that. And therefore there is no contradiction. Rabbi Chizda said, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? And this goes back to the machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi before. That Rabbi Yossi said that a kusi is allowed to perform mila, while Rabbi Yehuda said that a kusi is not allowed to perform mila. In other words, the machloikas was whether mila has to be done lishma or not. So what is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda who holds that mila must be done lishma? Because the pasuk says, Lashem himoy. This is a pasuk in Parashat Boy, Kapitel Yud Beis, pasuk Mumches, where it says, Chiyogurit chageir, if a ger will live with you, which means if a ger will be megayer, but also Pesach Lashem. He should make a Pesach Lashem. Himoy loikol zochar. He should have every zochar circumcised to him. So he darshens the word Lashem, which really goes for the words before, Va'osa Pesach Lashem. But he darshens that word as if it goes ahead, as if the pasuk says Lashem Himoil, that you have to be Maul for the sake of Hashem. And that's where he knows that Mila has to be done Lishmo. Then the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yossi, what does Rabbi Yossi do? Where does he take his deen that you don't need Lishmo? So he says Himoil Yimoil. The pasuk says Himoil Yimoil, you should circumcise every Zachar. And the pasuk uses a double lashon himel yimel, which comes to tell us you should circumcise it anyway, as long as the act is done. Meidoch. But the kasha is on him, haksiv lashem himel, even though Rabbi Yossi has the pasuk himel yimel, which proves that you don't have to do it lishma, but still there is the pasuk lashem himel, which teaches us that you have to be mal for the sake of Hashem. So he says from there it's not ayah. Ahuva Pesach Siv, that is speaking by Korban Pesach. The word Lashem doesn't refer to the mila, it refers to Pesach. But also Pesach Lashem. Then the pasuk continues, Himo Loikol Zach. The Idoch Namo Aksiv Himo Yimo. Now the Kasha of Rabbi Yehuda, how can you say it has to be Lishmo when the pasuk said Himo Yimo, an extra Lashon, a double Lashon, to stress the point that the main thing is the act of Mila, but the Kavana Lishmo is not important? So he says, no, there is no Raya, because Dibra Torah Kaloshim Bnei Yodam. The Torah speaks in the way of people. Since that is the way people speak, they use an expression of Himo Yimo, a double expression. So the Torah also uses a double expression. But the Torah doesn't mean for us to darshan anything out of it. And therefore, from there, it's no Raya, but he has a Raya from the words Lashem Himoil, that you do have to do it Lishmo. But from this Gemara we see that the reason that Yehuda holds a kusi is possible for Mila because it has to be done Lishmo, and the kusi does not do it Lishmo. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda holds a goy could do it because a goy would be doing it Lishmo. A kusi who always is mal and he does Lashem Avodah Zarah will do it here also Lashem Avodah Zarah. So therefore, he does not allow to let him do it. A goy who is never mal, so if he will be mal for you, he will do as you want and he will do it Lishmo. That's how it comes up in this Gemara. Toys, that's the kasha. Why is this different than get? The din by get is that it has to be done lishmo, and the din is that a goy is possible to write a get, as the Gemara says, in Perek HaMevi, and the reason is because a goy adaita d'nafshecha of it. We say whenever a goy does it, he will be writing for his own sake, not for the sake of lishmo. So how come over there where we need lishmo, we assume that the goy will not do it lishmo, and by mila where we need lishmo, we say a goy will do it lishmo? And Tosfos answers that it's not the same. At the MS, a goy does it stam. He doesn't have a mind lishmo, but he doesn't have a mind not lishmo. He does it stam. And therefore, by mila, where stamet is lishmo, there is no other reason a yid should want to do the mila. So when you are mal, usually it's lishmo. So therefore, a goy, as long as he doesn't do it for a different reason, like the kusi who does it bedavke for hagrizim. But a goy who doesn't do it for hagrizim, for avodah zarah, he does it stam, it is considered that it's done lishmo and it's kosher. But by a get, if you do it stam, it's not kosher, because a woman is stam not legerish nemedes. She's not ready, usually standing for gittin, for gerish, for getting divorced. Therefore, by a get, the only way it will be kosher, unless it is done bedafke lishmo. And since by a goy we say he doesn't do it bedafke lishmo, he doesn't do it bedafke again, but he doesn't do it bedafke in a positive way lishmo. He does it stam. And therefore, by a get, which stam is not for lishmo, it is possible if a goy does it. And from here, Tosfos takes out that when you write the get, it is not enough just to write lishmo. You always have to say that I am writing l'shem ploinis, l'shem this and this woman. And the same thing when you write a sefer Torah, you have to say b'feirish in the beginning of the writing, I am writing l'shem Torah Yisrael, because there has to be a positive inyan of lishmo. And you also have to say that you are writing the askoras, the names of Hashem, l'shem kedusha. Because if you don't do that, stam when you write, it is not lishmo. And it is mashma also from Perek and Nizokin in Gittin. When one person there said that the askores of the Sefer Torah, I didn't write lishmo. What is the pshat? I didn't write lishmo, meaning I didn't say it was written lishmo. Because if it would mean that I didn't bedavki make it lishmo, but I wrote it stam, then the lashon should have been I wrote them shaloi lishmo. But the lashon the Gemara is I didn't write them lishmo. That means he didn't do anything against it. He just didn't write it lishmo, and it was stam, and it was possible. So we see that when you write the shem, you must in a positive way say that you are writing lishmo. And that's also mashma like that from Perek Hashaloyach, also there in Gittin, where it says that Shimon ben Gamliel was a matir in Sidon to buy sefer Torahs from goyim. And the Gemara asks that Shimon ben Gamliel says there that you have to work out the parchment of the sefer Torah lishmo, but he doesn't hold that you have to write the sefer Torah lishmo, because he said that you could buy it from a goy, and a goy doesn't do it lishmo. That's the Gemara's kasha. Now from there we see that what the pshat a goy doesn't do it lishmo, it means that a goy doesn't in a positive way do it lishmo. But stam is not enough, because if stam would be enough, then it would be kosher to buy it from a goy, because buying from a goy is considered lishmo. If stam is considered lishmo, because a goy does it stam, as we said here in the Gemara by Mila. And since over there the Gemara said that a goy does it shalai lishmo, obviously that over there it's not enough stam, but you must do it in a positive way lishmo. But then Taisi that's a kasha. If by the Sefer Torah stam is not lishmo, so how come there in Perek Hashaleah by Sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzas? It says there that if a min wrote it, or a moser wrote it, or a goy wrote it, or an eved wrote it, or an isha wrote it, or a cotton, or a kusi, or a yisrael mumer, the Gemara says they're all possible, because the pasuk says uksharten uksaftem. It says uksharten lois al yadecho. Then if uksaftem amezuzas b'serecha v'sherecha, you should tie it and you should write it. And we learn out anybody who is bikshira, which means who is in the mitzvah of tying, of putting on film, he is in the mitzvah of writing. And since these don't put on film, they are possible to write the sefer Torah or the tefillin and the mezuzah. But the question is, why do we need a pasuk for a goy? A goy would be possible anyway, since a goy does it stam, and by a sefer Torah and mezuzah and film, we said before, stam is not enough, but it has to be done in a positive way, lishmo, and a goy doesn't do it that way, so a goy would be possible for that, even without this pasuk of ukshartam ukshaftam. And Taisus answers that be'emestak is there, a goy is just put in agav the others, but really what we mean is that a ish and a cotton and the rest need the posik, but a goy doesn't taka need that posik. Without that posik, it also would be possible because he doesn't do it lishmo. Just like over there, one of the things mentioned is Amin, and Amin definitely we don't need the posik to make him possible, because he does stoma lavay dezora, and nevertheless the Gemara puts it in. So this agav, since we mentioned many things, we mentioned that also, but not that for this we need the posik the Gemara brings there. Considering what the Gemara said here, that goyim is loy ma'ilim v'loy meridim, that you don't take him out of the pit to save his life, but you're also not allowed to throw him into the pit. So Tosfos has the kasha. It says in the Sikta Sofer in Perik Tazayin, kosher shebeknanim haroig, the best one of the goyim of the knanim you should kill. So we see that there is an inyan in killing them. And Tosfos answers that it says in Yerushalmi Kedushin that that is only b'shas milchama, a time of war you can't trust any goy, but other times you could. And he brings a raya that it says Vayikach sheish meis rechav bochor. It says when Paroi chased the Eden after they left Mitzrayim, it says he took 600 chosen chariots. But from where was it? We know that all their animals died. So it says there, it was Mehayoreh Bar Hashem, because those that were afraid of the words of Hashem kept their animals inside, because the Gzeira of Dever and by Borod, it was only that those animals that were outside would get killed, but those that were inside would not get killed. So those that were afraid of the words of Hashem took the animals in, and they were saved. So later on, when they had to chase the Eden, so Pare took it from them. So from here we see that even the best of the Goyim he should kill, because these people who gave the chariots to chase the Eden were the best Goyim. They were the ones that were afraid of the words of Hashem. And nevertheless, at that point, they gave the chariots to Pare to chase the Eden. But on the other hand, we see from here, from this Yerushalmi, that it's only a time of war, because at that time, when it was a time of war, that's when you couldn't trust them. But other times, the din doesn't apply that you should kill them. And then Tosfos says that even though Stam Knanim worship Avodah Zarah, and they are over on all the seven mitzvahs, still the din is that you are not allowed to kill them. Because the Pasuk says, V'hoya l'chol masa v'ducha, they should be to you for a tax and they should work for you. So we see that you shouldn't kill them. If they are in danger, then don't save them. But Stam to kill them, even if they don't keep the seven mitzvahs, still you are not allowed to kill them. And also the end of the Gemara that we learned today, where the Gemara says that the reason he doesn't learn out from the word Himoel Yimoel that you don't have to do it Lishma, is because he holds Dibra Torah Kaloshen B'nai Adam, and the Torah speaks the word the Loshen of people, and there is no special diuk in the fact that the Torah repeated itself by saying a double Loshen Himoel Yimoel. So the Chura, it would come out that the one that says here that we cannot darshan anything from the words Himoel Yimoel accepts that klal in the whole Torah, because many times we find in the Torah such an expression, Hoshik Toshiv, Havit Avitenu, etc. And there also we find a machloik is whether we darshan something from this extra word or Dibra Torah Keloshim B'nei Yodam. Now the one that says here that we say Dibra Torah Keloshim B'nei Yodam, obviously he accepts as a rule that wherever the Torah uses a double loshen, we cannot darshan it. So probably we would think that the same applies to all other psukim, that he holds that in all those psukim we cannot darshan anything. Nevertheless, Tosfos says that it's not so. And that he says that even the one that holds here that we say Dibra Torah Kaloshim B'nei Yodam is still able to darshan the other drushes that we darshan from Hoshev Toshiv and Echeich Techeich, etc. Because we don't find anywhere where a Tana should argue on those drushes. And that I is that Reb Shimon says in Perek Metzias Isha concerning the pasuk Havit Avitenu, that the reason the Torah repeats itself is because Dibra Torah Kaloshim B'nei Adam, and he doesn't want to darshan anything from it. The same Reb Shimon in Perek Kamet the Rosh Hashanah darshans from Aser to Aser Drash. So obviously we see that by the fact that in one place we say Dibra Torah Kaloshim B'nei Adam is no proof that that's how we're going to hold in every other place. But then Tosfos says that at Tzorech Iyun we have to really think about it. What is the cloud? When do we say Dibra Torah Keloshim B'nei Adam and when don't we? In other words, what is the reason that we should assume that in this pasuk the Torah didn't mean that we should darshan it, but the Torah just used it because that's how the Loshen of B'nei Adam, or this is a pasuk that the Torah did mean to darshan? And Tosfos doesn't give the klal when we say it.